I believe we need to spend a little time on verse 31, though, to get the challenge to us. In chapter 12, verse 1, as Brother Brian says, the Lord had sent unto Abraham. But when we read verse 31, and Terah took Abraham. It's not Abraham taking up the initiative, responding to the call, and acting in that responsibility. It is the father, Abraham's father, who takes the initiative. Took Abraham. There's no Abraham, still a little boy in his house. And God, who is, you know, the sovereign of the universe, is not really in charge of Abraham's life. Terah took Abraham's son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, the daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them unto Ur, from Ur of the Chaldeans, to go. Yes, the exercise evidently was shared by Abraham with the rest of the family. And Terah says, let's go. It isn't Abraham who says, let's go. Abraham, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Abraham shares it with the family. And Terah says, yeah, let's go. And it says they were going to the land of Canaan. The intention of Terah, as he took the lead, was definitely to go to Canaan. But it says, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. They stuck up. No further. And Abraham settles down. He's part of the company. Dwell there. How are we answering to our responsibility? To God's call. Are we taking it personal? Are we letting somebody take the driving seat in our lives?
You know, it's they went in the wrong direction. If you look at the map, they went in the wrong direction. And this is one of the things that when we don't follow the call and respond in faithfulness to the call, we are going to go in a different direction. It is where it's true, there will be barrenness, but there will be guidance that is not according to the mind of God. It is very detrimental to the soul. Abraham, we have to remember the time in which Abraham lived. It was a clan. The father was like the patriarch of the family. And what he said goes. And everyone else listened to him. Well, God have to bring Abraham to this point. Yes, the God who sovereignly chooses. And he chooses Abraham and called him out. Was Abraham special, as was said? No, Abraham wasn't special. But God who actively, and that's what the God of glory means, the God who sovereignly acts for himself. Why did God choose you or me? There's nothing in us. Why God chose a Jacob to make him the head of a nation? None of us will choose him. Because a supplanter, a thief, indeed, robbing, conniving, all the things he have, he says, you are disqualified. But God, again, sees the end and knows what he's doing. And Abram coming, he's going along, as was made mention. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son's sons, the son of Haran, and they went. But then we need to come into verse 32. And the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. I tell you, thank God. Isaiah came to the same point. When the king Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. You know, what needs to die? What needs to go? for us to really see again the God of glory and respond to his call.
God has to bring closure in relation to some things in our lives that we might respond to his call perfectly.
And where do all the testings in Abraham's life come from? They come from the things that challenge him the most, the things that historically in his life have prevented him. All the tests in his life come from those natural ties, from his family ties. Because God knows what's important to our hearts. And what he's going to show in our lives and in our hearts is those things that are most important. That's where the testing is going to come. When he's asked to sacrifice Isaac, the challenges with Lot, the challenges with Ishmael, they all come from natural ties. And I think that's one thing we have to be worried about. Those things that we allow to creep in and approach God in our own lives, his importance, that's where we're going to be tested. That's where the trials are going to come in. And because Abraham has this problem with natural ties are going to trouble him the rest of his life.
So Joey, it's these legitimate things. And even we brethren like to say, call ourselves brethren, whatever, but say, well, you should be at the Tuesday night meeting. You should be there every Tuesday or Wednesday. And if you have an exam the next day, you know, sometimes we understand or you have to work late. But again, the God of glory, there's no legitimate excuse for not following after the God of glory. There's no legitimate excuse. There's no natural tie. There's nothing. Your exam, prioritize your schedule. Prioritize it so you can make it out to be in the presence of the God of glory. Abraham should have, when he got to Haran and his father stopped, it's easy for us to say, again, it's a challenge for us, but he should have said, okay, Dad, you're old, you stay here, I got to go on. The God of glory is going to be over here and I need to go. And so it's just a challenge. We legitimize so many things. And again, that perspective, the sovereign God of glory that has seen something in our hearts. We can't even see it in our hearts. Certainly not on the outside, but God saw it and he's called us out and he gave his only begotten son for us. And there is no legitimate excuse to get in between us and the God of glory.